the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Grove.
My name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast slash mental health check-in for two broken-brained best friends talking around their problems, but not about their problems, whilst laughing at movies. So given that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, Ben, I figure let's start with the important stuff before we get to what we're doing. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man.
How's the lung?
Two new jobs. Oh, lung's still collapsed. That's fine, though. Right, we're not worried about
partially collapsed, though.
Yeah. Just the top bit. It's not full. It's not a full one, so that's good. I'm just being monitored at the minute. I've been to the doctors. Okay. I'm getting it checked. I'm not being a silly.
Okay, good.
Like I was for 6 months.
Yeah. Nice.
I got two new jobs.
Painkillers, though. Are you on painkillers?
No, God, no. You're being serious.
Are you just raw dogging collapsed lung?
I've got two new jobs, bud.
I suppose you don't want to change too much. Like, you want to keep the vaping going on because if you stop vaping,
shock my lung. Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I smoked for over 2 decades and was fine. And then I quit, what, like a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Right.
Lung collapsed.
Right, exactly. Yeah, don't do that.
I've got two new jobs.
Oh, you should have said.
I should have, man. I've kept it secret for all this time. I got two new jobs. They're both incredible. Nice. It's my first week this week, so I'm very excited, very fresh, very new. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Well, I'm not good.
What's going on?
I made the mistake of watching the news again.
Oh, mate, you need to stop that.
I made the mistake. I was like, maybe it's time. Maybe I can do it. It's not time. I can't do it. It makes me feel awful. The world is full of awful people. And I can't stop them being awful, and they're making it more awful by the day. So we thought, hey, good week to do The Social Network, right? Is that what we're doing? Are we doing The Social Network?
We are. This is it, buddy. We are tuning back into the David Fincherverse with The Social Network.
The Social Network. Now, Ben, not everyone likes everything.
True. Public bathroom jobs. It's not for everyone, man. You know what I mean?
Sardines
is another one. What else don't people like? Some people don't like lovely walks on a nice cold evening.
I mean, that's insane. That's you should like that.
Yeah.
But dear listener, if you hear us cry pineapple.
Oh yeah, pineapple on pizza. Yeah, pineapple on pizza.
Pineapple and pizza. There we go. Yeah. So if you hear us call that, it's just a short bit of the chat that might not be to everyone's taste. Something a brand new listener might not need, but not to worry. The full spicy Hawaiian version of every episode is available over on Patreon days beforehand with all the pineapple you could ever want.
It's just a quid. It's a quid.
It's a quid.
The first tier is a quid.
Yeah.
And if you want to support the show, it's the most direct way to do it. Benefits the show immensely. And plus, we love you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't support the show, we still love you. You know what I mean? Of course we do.
And our potty mouths are going to be censored in this version of the episode with some lovely ukulele noises. But you can hear all the bad words you like on Patreon.
Like...
Yep, there we go. Every time.
Oh, ukulele, 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 fuck. Ukulele, 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 cunt. Ukulele, 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 fuck. Hey, ukulele.
You know, last week where the first 20 minutes of the episode were like a swear word salad and I didn't have much time. And then we got to that bit and I was fuming. And that's when I found it funny.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man, but I figured this time around. You've already got the samples, you know what I mean?
Guess what? There's still a pain in the balls to put in. We've got too much to get into in this episode, as it is. We're going to get into why Ben hates this film.
We're going to get into why Rob loves it.
We're going to get into some soundtrack juice.
We're going to get into something that we know quite well. We hold quite dear to our hearts. It's a very, very personal aspect.
Cocaine!
Of the human experience. Cocaine addicts! Yes, buddy.
This is often accused of being David Fincher's best film.
Mind-blowing to me.
Well, not to me. And I think the criticisms of the world that this film makes only get more and more relevant as we sink further into the hellscape that I took a direct hit of earlier in the week.
This is what I mean, man. This is why I don't... I simultaneously love it and despise this film because it is A, good film, B, terribly affecting no matter what year you're in.
Yeah, you see, okay, we're going to have to get into that. But first...
Where Fincher at? What that man been? What that man do?
Well, know what I mean? There's, again, loads of projects. So in the 2010s, he was looking at doing... adaptation of David Cullen's book Columbine, which
Okay.
Would have been, you know, a laugh a minute.
Sure.
He was going to do a project set within the culinary arts world.
Oh, okay.
That would star Keanu Reeves.
Ooh.
The film would eventually be released in 2015 as Burnt, starring Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah, terrible film.
Oh, is that the one where he works at the Langham?
Possibly. Possibly.
Is he a chef?
He's a chef. It's like the film Chef, but nowhere near as good as the film Chef.
And not fun.
And not fun, yeah. There was going to be a Lone Wolf and Cub trilogy. Based on the Japanese manga series. That's a thing you might know about. I don't. It's going to be David Fincher, Tim Miller, and Andrew Kevin Walker. Now that, that is a lineup.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But then he got to 2010, and I mean, I can't really remember 2010, Ben, so can you refresh our memories?
So, it's 2010, bud.
Is it?
And the Deepwater Horizon oil drilling platform is writing absolute mid-tier Mark Wahlberg movies of the future.
It is.
It's 2010, my dear boy. And Steve Jobs changes the lives of menstruating women the world over as he unveils his new Apple iPad.
I'm not sure that's what that was for, Ben, but we roll.
It's 2010, my dear babe. My little angel baby boy.
Oh, thank you.
Hans Zimmer and Christopher Nolan are bending minds and bursting eardrums with Inception. It's literally just... Zimmer, what I'm thinking for this one is, mate, it's just massive horn sound. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I got you, mate, don't worry. But it's 2010, my dear boy.
Ooh.
My beautiful, golden, winged, tiny infant, smooth baby, Robert McFarlane.
Love it when you talk dirty.
Hated that.
Yeah, good.
It's 2010 and David Fincher is given $40 million to make The Social Network. $40 million? Is that?
Yeah, it's cheap. It's cheap, right? We'll get into why. This is a film featuring no nudity.
None.
It's all dialogue.
It is.
Of rich people.
It is.
In rooms.
Yeah.
Talking. So obviously this is a long favourite of yours. You've been repping this film for years. Because if I had to pick a film that I knew my friend Benjamin Kenneth Groves was going to be a big fan of, I'd say The Social Network.
When it came out, I saw this when it came out and I was like, you know, Fincher, it's going to be cool. I'd recently just come back from Japan. So I was like, cool.
Traumatised.
Trying to figure out how to be in England again.
Yeah.
I saw this and I was like, it's just talky, rich, posh nonsense with nothing for me to relate to.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I just don't care about the plight of a millionaire. The same thing with the game, right?
Okay. Well, I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'm going to get into it more because I've grown over the years. So that's how it was back then, and I've grown since then. So I'll save it for the actual show. But
this film makes the world a better place for me.
Okay,
because it's about rats in a bucket trying to kill each other so that they can pile the bodies high enough that they can be the last rat that manages to climb over the edge of the bucket.
Okay, when you put it that way, I love that concept.
Right.
But in the execution of this, it wasn't rats in a bucket.
Right.
It was millionaires in a courtroom going, but I didn't say that. Okay.
Right.
Brilliant.
Well, I'm gonna show you just how wrong you are. Now, before I do...
No, that's fine.
Before I do, I think for the benefit of those people who haven't seen this film in years,
yeah,
or those people who just know this isn't for them and want to enjoy the show, want to know what we're talking about, but have no plans to see it, we're going to break down the plot of this movie. Consider this your spoiler warning. Just a little 2-minute segment where we tell you everything that happens, including the end.
It's been out for 14 years.
Right.
You've had ample opportunity. This isn't on us.
Right. You've had your chance with the olives, all right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
This is not extra virgin. This is pomace oil at this point, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm going to start because there's some words I couldn't get rid of.
Also, you've color-coded.
Yeah, I heard that dyslexics can hear better off a yellow background.
I can hear better off a yellow background.
I read better off a... I'm an audio guy, man, all right?
It is true, though. I can hear better from the yellow. If you... Brilliant. Okay, you start this one.
We're having a breakdown.
In 2003, Harvard student Mark Zuckerberg creates a website called FaceMash, where students can rate the attractiveness of their fellow female students like sexist top trumps.
Yeah.
The site crashes Harvard's servers, drawing attention to Mark's technical skills, but also his disregard for privacy, social norms, or being a decent human being.
Yeah.
This leads him to being approached by wealthy twins Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, along with their partner Divya Narendra, to develop a social networking site called Harvard Connection, a social network driven by the exclusivity of having to be a Harvard student.
Unreal.
While Mark agrees to help them, he secretly begins building his own platform, the Facebook, with financial backing from his friend, Eduardo Saverin.
As Facebook grows in popularity, Mark's flaws begin to grow. That's an understatement if I've ever seen one. He minimizes Eduardo's contributions, downplaying his role as co-founder, and becomes increasingly dismissive of Eduardo's business advice. Meanwhile, the freaky twins... Okay, all right, yeah.
The freaky girls.
In the bin. I used to be an audio guy, and then you drop stuff like that? In the bin.
Yeah. Because we love the freaky stuff at the bottom. Oh, that's horrible. Look at this. Look at how horrible this is.
Yeah, fair. Meanwhile, the freaky twins realize Mark has used their idea and begin legal action against him. When Mark meets Sean Parker, the flamboyant founder of Napster, that's one way to describe him, he is drawn to Sean's vision of what Facebook could become, further alienating Eduardo.
Yellow works
great.
Mark's awfulness comes to a head when Sean's influence prompts him to dilute Eduardo's stake in the company, essentially buying him out for pennies against his will because they tricked him into signing the documents.
Unreal.
Eduardo confronts Mark in a heated showdown, exposing the betrayal and greed that have kind of come to define their relationship. Meanwhile, Mark refuses to acknowledge his unethical actions, and it deepens the rift with basically everyone who ever trusted him.
Yep.
His obsession with success comes at the cost of personal connections. Ironic. Leaving him increasingly isolated as lawsuits from Eduardo and the Winklevoss twins pile up. Should have colored it yellow.
See?
Sean Parker gets arrested at a house party with underage interns, proving my theory once again that a driver's license is the best card to use to cut lines.
100%. Especially with new friends.
Right. Let me just, yep, that's fine.
All safety, buddy. You know what I mean?
Right.
By the end of the film, Mark sits alone, refreshing his Facebook page in a futile attempt to reconnect with Erica Albright, the ex-girlfriend whose rejection partly fueled his ambitions. While Facebook has become a global phenomenon, Mark's flaws, his selfishness, betrayal, and inability to maintain meaningful relationships leave him a lonely figure, trapped by the consequences of his own actions.
So Rory and Shadow are wrong.
Dude, yellow works a treat, by the way.
In what context? Oh, the reading. Yeah, sorry, I thought we were still on the Kim Jong-un thing. And I was about to take exception.
That took a sharp left turn.
Because of you. Let's move on quickly. You hate this.
Right.
Tell me why. Give me the juice.
It's not that I hate this, because it's a very difficult film for me to process, right?
Okay. I hear that, but also everything you say before the word but is bullshit, so let's just cut.
it's hard to contextualize because it is so out of my wheelhouse.
It's a great film, but...
yeah. It's so far out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And it's so left field to what I would normally pay attention to, because there's nothing fun here for me.
No, and I'm actually, like, in a non-condescending way, incredibly sorry that I have managed to drag you so far from what you love to the point where you'll sit down and actually discuss The Social Network.
It's good for me, though. No, it's good for me, because I feel like I've grown a lot over the last couple of years, and this is why I can have this discussion, not just sit here and go, but shit, though, innit? You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair.
It's out of my wheelhouse. There's not a lot of fun in it for me because it's not monsters, it's not stompy stuff, it's not goofy stuff.
I disagree
and
say it is monsters, but it's a different kind of monster.
It is, but it's human monsters. It's monsters that you can see out and about on the street. It's not Godzilla, it's not Mothra, it's not the creature from the Black Lagoon. You know what I mean?
If billionaires had the ability to get laser eyes, they'd take that option.
I 1,000% Musk is working on it. 1,000% he's just doing it in the back room somewhere. 1,000%. It's the fact that the characters in it are so unrelatable to me that it's so hard to care about the actual plot of the story that's going on. It's a very interesting story, and it's told incredibly well. And the cutting between like current timeline and then the dramatization of the past events, whether they were true or not, because a lot of the stuff that's acted out is based on the testimonies of people from, like, you know, Erica Albright.
Mm-hmm.
From Erica Albright, she gives a testimony. It's all dramatized and acted out. And then we find out in the current time that Mark's like, well, no, I didn't say any of that. So that's a very interesting way to look at it. It's very fun to sort of see which way it goes and the twists and the turns. I just don't care about the characters. I don't care about the plight of Mark Zuckerberg. I just don't.
You see?
I don't care about the multimillionaire Winklevoss twins that are like, oh, excuse me, that was my idea. And it's like, yeah, it was your idea. And you gave it to a terrible person. So giving it to a terrible person with no, like, legal proceedings in place, they just went, this is our idea. Can you help us with it? And he was like, yeah, sure. Did it himself. Fair play.
Back hurdle. You have activated my trap card.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to be educated.
I hear your point. But on the other hand, reality. So Mark Zuckerberg, mm-hmm. at the time that this film, this 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this film has gotten more relevant in lots of ways. But what it has lost is a bit of its bite, because at the time, we were at the forefront of tech billionaires. We hadn't really had them for that long. Mark Zuckerberg was among the first.
Yeah.
Elon was still acquiring Tesla, or just in the early days of Tesla. And we were like, what a sound guy. He wants to save the planet. He believes in climate change. He's trying to build electric cars so we can save the climate. And he's trying to build spaceships in case plan A doesn't work. What a mint guy.
Just a chill guy.
You know what I mean? He's just a chill guy. He designs flamethrowers. He sells flamethrowers. Hilarious. He's built a company that digs tunnels. He's called it the Boring Company. What a guy, right?
Sure.
And Mark Zuckerberg and our opinion of these people hadn't been coloured by, on the other hand, reality. I found an article from before this film was released.
Okay.
Plans to improve education, and this is talking about Mark Zuckerberg, he plans to improve education and cure the world's most intractable diseases by giving scientists access to engineers whose work could include artificial intelligence. It's safe to say that no one is doing more in so many fields to bring about this singular vision of connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would not underestimate him, said Ben Horowitz, whose venture capital firm is a Facebook investor. He's totally determined, willing to fail and try again. He has the resources, and he's a genius. If he can't lead the way, then I'm not sure who can.
That's from an investor of Facebook.
Do you remember early days of the internet, before Google, before Web 2.0, before Facebook, where it was like you'd type in a URL, you'd be like, let's go see what's on Rotten.com. Let's go check out what's on Kongregate.com, where the internet was this beautiful, innocent, user-generated thing that had no big money.
Ebaum's
on.
World. Do you remember Ebaum's World?
Ebaum's World. Oh,
incredible
God.
Website. I missed that on a daily basis.
Incredible website, right?
Yeah, amazing.
Think back to that internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what we were dealing with in the early 2000s. It was beautiful.
It was.
We had MSN Messenger.
Oh,
we had Windows
God.
Media Player. And we had Napster. And we were downloading. We had that whole thing about it when we went on... No More Late Fees.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of how incredible that early internet experience was.
LimeWire.
Here comes a guy who goes, well, I'm going to connect people. And there was a time where we were like, wow, technology is going to make society better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the world that this film was released into.
Okay.
That's why this film had bite back then, because it was like, nuh-uh.
I see what you're saying. I do see what you're saying.
So there's a point at which it's become less relevant, because a lot of what it's telling us is just known fact now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We just go, yeah, of course they're immoral, small men. We know that because they tell us every day.
Right. I understand what you're saying. And this is where I'm... This is going to reveal stuff about me that I'm not proud of. I've grown out of it a bit.
Right.
Mostly.
Right. The dark web stuff.
No, it's the chip on my shoulder.
Oh, it's going to reveal the chip on your shoulder.
Yeah,
Ben, it walks in the room 8 minutes before you do.
No, that's my shame. That's my shame and my bruised ego.
Right, okay, nice.
It's easily confused. I've got like a weird chip on my shoulder for these guys that are like, they're painted out to be saints. And you just look at them and you go, but...
Yeah.
All right, there are very, very, very easy ways for you to turn around and go...
Mm-hmm.
I've just done this. It's not for any big reason. I've just done it. Everyone bangs on about Bono being this next, you know, the next patron saint, Bono, and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's great. It's amazing. He organizes all these festivals where he begs poor people to give their money to help out other poor people whilst he sits in his billion-dollar house earning hundreds of millions year upon year.
I'm raising awareness. Not money, then.
Not money. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Your charity, Red, raised how many million? 20. How much of it made it there? A couple hundred thousand. Fantastic. Where's the rest?
Brilliant.
Lost in admin. Yeah, patron saint. Yeah. Fantastic. Awesome.
I get it. I do get it.
It's this whole thing, right? And it's trust issues. It comes from like way, way, way back when. Even like, do you remember when we had the early internet? And it was all about like Microsoft, and there was the gaming consoles wars, you know, there was between like Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo were still kind of there. The like background
GameCube.
Noise.
Was GameCube going to do it? Ooh.
Yeah. Is the new Donkey Kong Bongo controller really going to change the way we work as humans? No, obviously not. But
no, it's just going to affect Dark Souls speedruns 20 years from now. You'll love it.
That's exactly it. But you've got... That's so true. That's so unbelievably true. I just started playing Elden Ring. That's hilarious. But we had this thing, and there was loads of stuff about Bill Gates back then being all like all this charitable work and this lovely stuff that he does in like third world countries.
He's curing malaria.
But then bit by bit, you just see these horrible experiments that are going on behind the scenes, and you're like, how is he funding this?
Right.
Why am I on MSN Messenger right now talking about this on a fucking Bill Gates machine?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
It's that. That's where it comes
from. I think a large part of the chip that I share with you, or shared with you for a long time, is that we both grew up on benefits with single mums. Yeah. And in the era that we were growing up, the Conservative Party government was campaigning on this whole ridiculous idea that there were women out there who were having babies for the benefits, right?
Yes.
And like single mothers were the enemy. So we were seeing these rich bastards come on television and be like, it's not us spending all the money on nuclear submarines. It's all these single mothers who are stealing from the state. Yeah. We were being raised by women in poverty, and we were being told that our mothers were what was wrong with the country.
Do you see what I mean? By the people that are represented in this film. And I'm like,
I get it.
Fine.
I had it for a long time. Yeah. I was the poorest kid. I was the richest kid in primary school.
Sure.
I got bullied for being posh because I sound like this. Mm-hmm. And then I was the poorest kid in grammar school, and I got bullied for not summering in the Maldives.
Yeah, right? 1,000%. There you go.
So I get it. I get it. And it's part of what it's going to feed into why this is a happy place film for me.
Okay, that's going to be good. I need to get this off my shoulder, right? The chip that I'm talking about is no longer there to this extent. This is where I was when it came out,
when
the world it was released into, when I first watched it. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care about these evil guys that are taking my data and selling it to ad companies. Because all this stuff started coming out bit by bit by bit. We realized that our data and our privacy is no longer any concern. And that's the bit that didn't sit with me well. So when I'm watching this film, this is all in my mind. I'm like, I don't care. It's absolute nonsense. There's nothing here that I'm going to feel sorry for.
You get that you're supposed to hate them. You get that this is not a heroic journey.
I do.
This is a villain origin story.
Yes, but the villain in this story is a weird incel that's doing it because someone broke up with him for not being like a slightly better person, or not being the best in his field. So what he does is he then changes the entire field irreparably for the worse. Single-handedly destroying the society that we've been working on and the hopes and dreams that we had by hitting one nuclear button.
We should point out, as Aaron Sorkin and Mark Zuckerberg have both pointed out on their own, Aaron Sorkin, who wrote this, this is loosely based on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg.
There's
an awful lot that just didn't happen or isn't true. It's almost a parable or a metaphor for the emerging billionaire class.
And this is where I come in with my how I viewed it to like this week. This is where I'm at with it now. This is arguably one of the best films I've seen in such a long time. And it's changed my mind about Fincher. Maybe not changed my mind. I had a bit of an epiphany about Fincher whilst watching this film. Because not only is it gorgeous to look at, there is not a single frame in this film that you could change and it would add anything to the film. There is nothing in it.
It's perfectly shot.
It's perfection from start to finish. Yeah. Every single shot, angle, the way that I resent Fincher a bit, because the way that he uses the camera to tell this story forces empathy.
Yeah.
And I hated it
because
I picked up on it straight away, because you pointed out in Benjamin Button, right, how he forces empathy with stuff. And I picked up on it on this film and I was like, nah, not working on me, bud. Still hate him. Nah. But that was happening and it was incredible.
It makes you feel what they're feeling. It does.
It's insane. So he forces his empathy and you really see like the depth and the severity of the situation that's going on. Even though I've got no vested interest in it whatsoever, you feel the gravity of the situation. It's an incredible film of a horrible story. It's an incredibly executed film about a horrible, horrible story that makes me feel on a fundamental level sad for the human race.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And this
I totally do. It's like exactly why I love it.
Okay.
We'll come back to that. No,
it's good. This is good. I feel like there might be a bridge here. We're on different sides, but there's a bridge.
I've got the last brick in that bridge at the end. All right. And it's going to click into place. It's going to be the keystone.
Incredible.
And it's going to make everything about my week better.
Amazing. Okay. So this is where I'm at with Fincher. The epiphany that hit me. The way that he tells his stories and the scripts that he chooses to work with,
right,
he will flip a story so that you're seeing it from unexpected viewpoints.
Yeah.
We're not seeing this story from Mark Zuckerberg's viewpoint, right?
No, it's all told through these three court cases brought against him, and we're all hearing the testimony of the people suing him.
Exactly. But what it is there is no refute of the villainy that's going on. It's just people telling these awful, awful recollections of what's happened to them because of this one human, and him going, so? it's a perfect storm of super uncomfortable and weirdly empathetic, and it's like a weird goo that I sat in for 2 hours or 2.5 hours, however long this film is, and by the end of it I was like, oh god, I just feel like I need a shower, just feel like I need a quick wash just to get it off, you know what I mean?
It's the sort of thing, there's a practical reason that it comes from this, but you're right, it's a perfect Fincher move.
It is. It's incredible.
Where it comes from is Aaron Sorkin. There was a book being written about the founding of Facebook. Aaron Sorkin caught wind of it, read a bit, was like, this is brilliant. I'm going to make the film version. Book's not even finished yet. Let's sit in a room together. You write the book. Pass me the chapters. I'll turn it into a movie.
Okay.
And they were like, well, we're going to have to ask Facebook and Harvard and all these guys to get involved. And they all read it and were like, absolutely not.
Yeah, of course. No. Of course they were like that.
But then, of course, these court cases are public documents.
Yeah.
So you can write whatever you want around them.
Yeah, of course.
So Facebook said, no, we're not going to get involved.
Aaron Sorkin
says, well, you can't stop me writing about what was claimed in a court of law because it's a public document. You've got no right to tell me I can't use this information.
That's okay. That's kind of genius and it makes me like it a little bit more.
right.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Speaking of genius, I've got a confession to make, and I'm not Dave Grohl, so it's not adultery. It's a Dave Grohl-related thing, which is, for all of my life, I came out of the womb in a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt.
Right.
I am obsessed with Nine Inch Nails. I have to declare that first.
You don't.
I had been for a long time before this film came out.
Right.
And the soundtrack for which Trent Reznor won the Oscar,
amazing,
for The Social Network,
incredible,
is done by Trent Reznor, right?
It is.
And Atticus Ross, who are now Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
This was like a huge coming together of my worlds, but I think without this soundtrack, the film doesn't work.
1,000%, I'll agree with you. 150%.
Interesting behind the scenes fact that it's not quite true. Trent Reznor was asked in interview if it was Elvis Costello. He's like, I don't think it was Elvis Costello. But when Mark Zuckerberg is walking across the university campus after just being dumped at the start of the film, was originally some indie rock jangly guitar music.
Yeah.
Like Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
And he was like, Trent Reznor said, I just remember some jangly college rock, sort of everything's all right, let's all have a beer sort of track.
Right.
And the film then sort of became some sort of John Hughes-esque kids at college, light life, which is not what the film should be.
No.
If you changed the soundtrack of this film, it would creep into your mind that maybe we're supposed to be looking up to this guy, or maybe this is a biography, like, or like, a, oh, we're telling the story of this man's life because we're interested in this man, and like we think what he's done
positive,
is good.
A positive spin right. on it almost. Okay. Right.
Instead, you've got what sounds like tortured air conditioners and this incredibly sad bit of piano.
The thing, oh my God, you're so right. The thing that I love about the soundtrack in this is the obviously the air conditioning drone and the weird playful stuff that happens in between is the fact that at some point they were like, yeah, they're in a club. We need something right. sort of like dancey and, you know, upbeat, but also something that's really it's really gonna drive the severity of the situation. He's like, yeah, easy, mate. Yeah, just give me 20 minutes. Boom. Dun 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 dun. And then just puts like a dance beat under it and it works perfectly. And you're like, oh my God, I hate this. Because I know it's Nine Inch Nails. And I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, this is all right. Oh, oh no.
So,
oh no. Now it, okay, here we go. And then it just melts. It's slowly like it peels off the walls. It's horrible. If you listen to it on its own, horrifying.
I adore the soundtrack to this film, so much so that I've actually created a playlist for our Patreon listeners.
Yes,
of
buddy.
Other Nine Inch Nails music that if you enjoy the soundtrack to this mm-hmm. and you don't necessarily know Nine Inch Nails go very heavy, mm-hmm. very noisy at parts of their catalogue. They also go very quiet and very odd and very whatever this soundtrack is. So I've made a little playlist mm-hmm. that's some selected tracks from this soundtrack.
Okay.
And other tracks on other albums to help serve as like a little intro. Ooh. For people who like this soundtrack, there's lots more that's actually better from their music catalogue that I've put into a little playlist.
That's awesome, man. Does it have the hand that feeds on it?
Of course it doesn't.
Oh. I won't bother.
That song that plays during the opening credits, I have to point out, it's played two more times in the film. Once at the midpoint.
Yeah.
And once at the very end. But every time, you won't notice this when you watch the film, but when you listen to the soundtrack, every time that phrase is repeated, mm-hmm. the piano mics move further away.
Right, okay.
So the emotion of the piece...
getting more and more distant.
Gets physically more distant.
Okay.
And the aircon gets closer. The inhuman, mechanical, machine noise is growing. Right?
Yeah, I like that.
And it cuts to the heart of why I think this deserved the Oscar. Because quite often soundtracks are like quite simplistic emotional nails, sort of driving home how you're supposed to be feeling about the image on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like John Williams, undoubtedly a genius soundtrack.
Incredible.
Writer.
Incredible.
But you never listen to a piece of John Williams music and go, that's a bit ambiguous about how I'm supposed to feel.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'll agree.
Never want to.
I will agree.
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to feel here. Whereas Reznor looks at what's on screen and goes, I'm not going to amplify what's on screen. I'm going to complicate what's on screen. I'm going to run counter to what's happening and I'm going to make it more confusing.
He does.
Does he mean that?
No, man, you've just pointed that out. He does loads of stuff like this.
Yeah.
There's a bit where he's like, where it's almost like a celebratory moment where like Facebook, it's either just after he gets the new interns or he's planning on doing the mm-hmm. interviews, but the soundtrack is horrid. Like, it's like a damning moment audibly, mm-hmm. but verbally, it's a celebratory thing. You need to come back to California. This is amazing. We've done it. And the music's horrid.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then in reality, it's because Mark is lying through his teeth. He wants Eduardo to come back.
Ah, damn.
And it's that complexity and that subtlety and that trust in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you how to feel.
Right.
That's not my job. Trent, it is your job. That's literally what the soundtrack's supposed to do. He's like, no.
Yeah.
These are grown-ups. We're all grown-ups here. I'm going to make you feel something, and it's going to change your relationship to this film.
Yeah.
If you look at the film it beat, Interstellar.
Yeah.
This was up against, for the Oscar, Hans Zimmer, Interstellar.
Wow.
Not the subtlest of soundtracks.
No. Right? But also incredible soundtrack.
Incredible Ooh. Soundtrack. Incredible okay. soundtrack. But it is an emotional nail to the face.
It is.
Whereas
it
this is a
is.
Surgical complex. I mean, there were bits in this where, I'll quote here Trent Reznor, we're also aware that it's not just a piece of music. There's dialogue, there's sound effects, there's room tone, there's an air conditioner running, there's a truck going by. We'll consult and we'll say, hey, what key is the tone of that aircon? Can we can transpose our track, or can you pitch up the aircon? So it becomes an in-concert symphony of sound that spills from traditional music into sound design. To me, they're interlocked.
Wow. Okay. I love Trent and Atticus. And I also love that they've been dropping spoilers about this film since 2010 and just no one has picked up on it. You know what I mean? They spell it out for you as the film plays out. No one clicks on. I didn't click on it until you've just pointed out. I'm going to have to watch it again. But I'm just going to pay attention to the soundtrack.
Good. It's so, so good.
But I think the best thing about this film, by a long shot for me, is...
The soundtrack,
that's it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah, it's good. Incredible. Did you know who did it?
I'm glad we agree.
It was Trent and Atticus, man.
So, no! Really?
All this thing about aircon and machines, and there's like a mic on a piano that moves further away.
That's intense.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Where did you hear all this?
I did my research, but it's all my own research in that.
Been listening to some incredible podcasts.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, nice. They're all right. It's the performances, man.
Oh, Jesse Eisenberg has never been in another film compared to this.
It's night and day. I mean, now you see me, right?
Right. Oh.
Three's just finished filming, by the way. Three's just
wrapped.
Yeah,
but they can't... They've ruined it already because the second one should have been called Now You Don't. But that ship has sailed.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. But I'm saying, like, Jesse Eisenberg in this film is ridiculous because not only... It's wizardry. I don't get how he does this, right? He does this whole thing where he is completely monotonous and robotic and calculated and horrid. But simultaneously, you can feel... every single lingering emotion behind his eyes. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
How do humans craft this wizardry? Like, where does it come from?
He complained about this film lovingly.
Yeah.
Because he suffers with a genuine obsessive compulsive disorder. Not like, oh, I need to make sure my emails are sorted. He's like, he's got to lock the door 8 times and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so he had to readopt speech patterns that he'd trained himself out of.
Oh, that's brutal.
So he had to return to the well of like, oh, all that stuff that I spent a lifetime trying to not do, you're now needing me to do. Brilliant. Thanks, David.
That's way more brutal. That makes a lot more sense now. Okay.
Right.
Because... okay, it's his eyes, man. It's his eyes.
Yeah,
incredible. You get the depression, you get the heartbreak, but you also get the childlike, timid, I'm going to do something kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? He's like a little kid with a new pack of crayons, and then it's like...
There's not a bad performance in the film.
Andrew Garfield, insane.
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 Yeah, he's mint. Everyone in this film is mint. And slight tangent, but... Mm-hmm. The Jesse Eisenberg returning to the well of his trauma, his lived trauma, is that happens quite a lot on this, right?
Okay.
So this film won 3 Oscars, one for film editing, incredible, one for soundtrack, one for writing.
Amazing.
66% of those Oscars were by cocaine addicts.
Outstanding.
So Aaron Sorkin was arrested in Hollywood Burbank Airport. In the airport.
Okay.
Possession of hallucinogenic mushrooms. A little too spicy to carry on. Unedited episode on Patreon. You're right. It does affect every aspect of our waking life now, a little bit like in the 50s, your newspaper men. So it's a little bit like a modern Citizen Kane, except it's written by addicts. So it's Citizen Cocaine.
Oh my God. All right. I was going to say it's a bit of a stretch, but I'm glad that I waited off because that's fantastic.
It's not a stretch though, because it's about Citizen people who cocaine. Control information and make money off it.
No, you are right. I feel like this is a much more evil Citizen Kane. Then again, cocaine's more evil than, you know, a whiskey and shooting someone on a boat.
Right.
Yeah. Sound. All right. Yeah, sound. I'm in. I'm back in. This film is incredible, and I cannot stress that enough. It's incredible. It's also deeply, deeply, deeply upsetting. The villainy in it is so small scale and so easy to come by and so prevalent. It's just slowly being ingrained into newer generations, it's just ingrained that this is how it is. And it's like, Jesus Christ. I know.
My sister doesn't remember a time before Facebook. For her, Facebook is like BBC Two.
Yes. And that's insane. That's insane to me.
It's always existed.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because I'm like 36 now and I'm really contemplating death.
No.
Maybe I'm like, yeah, this is the long stretch now. This is where I'm at.
No, and here we come to my keystone, babe.
Okay.
This is why this is an incredibly uplifting film.
Okay, hit me with it.
Because you're right, it's a villain origin story.
Yeah.
About autistic people doing an anti-heist on society so that they can get some form of personal slight against their egos corrected. Yeah. I will burn the world down before they exclude me.
Yes.
It's small, tiny men,
yep, right,
burning the world.
Yep.
But here's the thing. We've sat and we've watched a film shining a light on them for the small, tiny, pathetic men they are.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like David Fincher and Aaron Sorkin and Trent Reznor sit you down and go, we agree. The fact that this film is getting made is a sign that there is a huge market. There is a $40 million worth market. And trust me, I'm going to tell you how much this made in a minute.
Okay.
They are the minority, and we are still at a point where we can all get together and go, that's pathetic. We're not going, oh, wow, look at his incredible achievements. We're not going, wow, he's a genius, and if anyone knows how to change the future, it's going to be him. You know, he's going to cure diseases. He's going, what a loser.
Mm.
And there's nothing that keeps my teeth whiter than sitting down with David Fincher and Trent Reznor and pointing at a rich loser and going, you're still a prick.
I get that. I can see that. I can see that, yeah.
It's so cathartic when I'm watching the news this week, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching the news this week and I'm like, Musk is going to drive us all to hell. And then you've got the people I respect just going, don't worry about them. They're little men. They're pricks.
Yeah.
They're absolute bell ends. And I love, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much you build an empire and change the fabric of society, there's always going to be some dude with bells on his shoes and a silly hat going, you're a bell end though, aren't you?
Yeah, fair. I can respect that. I can respect that. I think the worst thing is just sort of like the more they take over. I mean, do you remember when Facebook bought WhatsApp?
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like a big celebratory. Yeah, but you know, now it's all in one place. And the first thing I was like, what is Telegram? How do I download Telegram? What is this thing? Is it different? Is it the same?
You are exceptionally paranoid, though.
I just hate it. I hate one person having everything. It's odd. Oh, yeah, everything. Yeah. If he buys my bank, and then also the people that gave the mortgage on the house.
There is no way to be a moral billionaire, right?
Of course not. I get that.
You are a dragon sat on a big pile of money.
I understand.
And the mere act of having $1 billion makes you an evil person. Because you are never going to spend that much money.
To an extent. Yeah. It depends.
500 million, go crazy. Do what you want. You've got 500 million. There's nothing you can want that you can't have. There's nothing reasonable that you could want that you can't have. For 500 million, you can buy some small countries, right? Yeah. You don't need another 500 million.
And this is my thing, though, right? It's what you do with it that matters after the fact. You know what I mean?
100%. But there is nothing reasonable that you could want to do that you cannot achieve with 500 million. By the time you get to $1 billion, what do you need that? What do you need that for? What is it that you could want that you can't get for 500 million?
That's a great point. I think it would just be sort of, I don't know. I think at a certain point I'd get bored.
Right.
I'd just be on street corners being like, all right, mate, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Going to work,
because you're a rational person.
I'd be like, all right, sound. How much to quit your job? I don't know. I'm on 40 grand a year. All right, here's 50.
Right.
Have a great year. See you in a bit.
Right. Right. I'd go, let's invent anti-gravity. Let's end homelessness for a laugh.
Yeah. Let's make a massive trampoline park. Huge. How big do you want it? Madagascar big is how big I want my trampoline park.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just going to buy solar panels for everyone because I can. For banter. But they don't do that, right?
Yeah,
they go, no, I'm going to make number go up. And you're like, well, that's an immoral thing.
It is mental. But again, there's very little to say or to do or to rationalize or try and understand, because we're from a different world. We always will be from a different world. Look, and that's
we
fine.
Can't change it. You know what I mean? We can't we're change not gonna, it. So there's no gonna. Sense. There's it's read, fine. Read the back of your coin. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
I literally have it
change.
In my hand right now. Like this right. is my talisman right now. This is like
and read the back.
Yeah, I've got you. So it says
I know it's not yellow.
it's, oh, I've just thrown it. One sec.
it's not yellow. Yeet.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's great.
Right.
That is great. That's sound it, advice. It's solid.
Quick sidebar. He does prefer it when you pronounce it properly. Jod.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, Jod. Sorry, Jod. I was getting confused with Jesus. I, you know, I mean, yeah, yeah I get them mixed yeah, up. Yeah. That's my
do you
bad.
Wanna know, do you want to know how much this made?
More than anything.
From its 40 million.
More than anything.
So at the end of its theatrical run,
yeah.
the film had grossed $97 million in the United States.
Wow, okay.
And $128 million in other territories for a worldwide total of $225 million.
Jesus Christ, that's insane. that is...
In its first week of release on DVD,
yeah.
sales totaled $13 million in a week Ooh. From DVDs.
Yeah, okay.
That is 225 million reasons that Mark Zuckerberg is a bell end.
I get
and that.
That
is what keeps me. This is why I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no, ooh, I hear you. I hear
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. And it's not even call. It's not calling him Satan. It's no, not no, calling no. him the Great Destroyer.
No, no,
because
no.
that would imply he's got power. It's just yeah. calling him a little bit of a prick.
I think the worst thing about it is, though, is me giving him that bit of attention. It's still paying attention to this little bit. I don't think that's what doesn't sit with me well. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to care. I don't want to know you.
Fine.
I just,
fine.
Just. What?
We have to, because it's the world we live in.
I know. It's a weird...
This film also appeared on 78 film critics' top 10 lists.
Amazing.
The best films of 2010.
I'll agree. It's incredible.
Right, it's mint.
It's incredible. It's mint. Perfectly executed film.
You hate it.
Horrible story. Hate the story. Perfectly executed film.
And I love it, because I'm just like, yeah, get him. Get him, Dave.
Yeah, all right, fair.
So play a game.
I'd love to.
Right, so there's loads of good trivia. There's loads of good trivia for this film that just didn't fit into what we wanted to say about it. So I'm going to just give you a couple bits. There's a part in this film where they're legal deposition and the lawyer says to Zuckerberg, Zuckface, 19 Nobel, he says, you went to Harvard with 19 Nobel laureates, 15 Pulitzer Prize winners, 2 future Olympians and a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the movie star that Zuckface went to Harvard with?
Ooh. I don't know. Let me take a guess. I'm going to take a stab in the dark. Can I have a clue? Can I have a clue of like of a film that they were in?
One in which a Frenchman wants to get handsy with a child.
The dude from Leon.
Oh.
Okay, there's only 3 of them. Right. I don't think it's Gary Oldman.
Who's roughly Zuckface's age? No.
I don't think it's Natalie Portman. I don't think
oh, do
it's...
Do not?
Is it Natalie Portman?
It's Natalie Portman. He went to Harvard with Natalie Portman.
Okay.
She called That's Aaron insane. Sorkin when she heard of the project and met him for dinner to discuss life at Harvard. She dated a member of the Porcellian Club.
No way.
The knobby club that the freaky twins go to.
Oh, get it, girl. Okay.
And so she was kind of half consultant on the movie about what life at Harvard was like.
That's incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't say Portman because I was like, she's a kid.
yeah, so Zuckface.
Yeah.
How many takes did the first scene, the breakup, take?
Okay, so I think this is a trick question, if I'm being honest with you. I think because Fincher is famous for doing loads of takes.
Right.
I'm going to assume that it's on this quiz because it's the opposite. I'm going to say 3. Okay.
You know he normally does loads of takes?
Yes.
And you went one way?
Yeah.
Go the other way.
oh, okay. 150 takes.
51 takes less than that, but yes.
99 takes of that one scene.
99 takes.
Jesus Christ.
You could put a flake in it and sell it out of a van.
Oh my God.
it was.
Is that an ice cream joke? That's fantastic.
Yes, it was.
okay. Awesome.
What did this film add to Mark Zuckerberg's life? You're never going to get this. This is, I don't know why I phrased this question this way.
Yeah.
It's a drink. It's a drink that he'd never had before.
What? Appletini?
Yes. He drinks them all the time now.
because of this film?
Yeah, he'd never had one before.
Right.
And then he was like, well, I'll try one, seeing as they claim that I love them so much. And then he was like, oh my God, this is incredible. Yeah, this is the best thing I've ever drunk.
The tits, they're insanely good.
Last question of the quiz.
Yep.
There is a blink and you'll miss it reference to one of David Fincher's earlier films in this movie. Did you spot it?
Is this the scene where they attend a fight club in the basement of Harvard's bicycle room?
It's not, okay. But you're not far off, because in one scene, Zuckerberg is using a Facebook profile, and the name on his Facebook profile is...
Tyler Durden.
It is. A reference to Brad Pitt's character in Fight Club.
That's insane. Okay, I need to go back and watch that. Yeah, I need to go back and watch it. Jesus Christ, okay. That's a good quiz, man. I like that one.
Thanks, man. What are you going to rate The Social Network? This is going to be complicated.
Yeah, I've dreaded this bit. Okay, so I'm going to have to give it 2 ratings. Like, I categorically have to.
Standard Benjamin Kenneth Groves move.
No. It's what? Benjamin.
What's your definitive rating of this film? Well, I've got 5.
Yeah. Well, if it needs 5, I'm giving it 5. I'm doing my due diligence, all right?
Okay.
Right.
Apologies to Rosie on Letterboxd, but yeah.
there's 2, right? So right. 1 is for as a film, so as a standalone film, it's
as
like,
a piece of technical filmmaking.
As a piece of filmmaking, it is perfection. It is a fat 10. It is a fat 10. As a choice of story to tell, again, the way that he does it, the way that it's executed, fat 10.
Oh, okay, right.
The other rating, the second rating, sorry, that was all bulked into one.
Mm-hmm.
The other rating, which is my enjoyability and how much did I enjoy this film? Would I sit down to watch it again? Without that little quiz, the answer would probably be no. Without the information about the soundtrack, the answer would probably be no. But I'm going to. I'm going to rate it a 4 because it's a harrowing film and I really didn't enjoy my time here.
Okay.
Because it just made me very sad and a bit annoyed.
Your TripAdvisor for the 2 hours spent with this film is 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10 for my time spent, because it's so far removed from my wheelhouse. If you're after a film experience, 10 out of 10, watch it immediately. Watch it immediately. It is perfection.
Right. Nice.
How about yourself?
I am going to go in with a lower score.
Okay.
Of fat 10.
A lower score of fat 10. Okay.
Fat 10, yeah. Sound. Because I adore Nine Inch Nails, I adore David Fincher, and it is a technically perfect film. Like, there's so little that I can tell the listeners about how he made this, because it's just not the most important thing for me in the film. The most, like, it's David Fincher, and at this point in his career, he's firing on all cylinders.
Yes.
Yeah, like, we've got Gone Girl coming up.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
We've got Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, which every day of my life, I wake up sad that they didn't continue that version of the trilogy.
I've never seen it.
I adore it. It's a ridiculous thing to get invested in, because it's part one of a 3-part story that they never made parts 2 and 3.
That's infuriating.
Yeah.
I already hate it.
Yeah. Okay. You'll hate it more once you've seen it and you've seen how brilliant it is. But
This is like Mac and Me. Mac and Me at the end, the blow up bubble saying we'll be back. They never will be.
They know you're right, exactly. It's like Dad all over again.
Yeah. Except for not as upsetting as Mac and Me.
It's true. I would rather have Mac and Me too than a father.
Right?
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, guys, that is everything that we have for you this week. We have sincerely enjoyed hanging out with you for this hour.
We really have.
It means the absolute world to us. If you want to support the show, if you want to help us grow, if you're able to, our Patreon is there. There are extra episodes ready and waiting for you. There's a poll open right now to see which is going to be
the
very first Patreon exclusive episode. It's going to be super fun. There's a great community of people in there. That's one way to support the show. And we truly the only ones worth knowing. No, I'm joking. It truly does mean the world to us that you're willing to support us that way. Equally, if you don't want to sign up to Patreon, you could simply tell a friend. Just literally, hey, buddy, guess what I listened to the other day? This podcast.
Yeah.
What's it about? About movies. Oh, okay.
Ben's being very nice, but I'm going to go one further and say that if you don't join us on Patreon, and you then, that's fine. But if you then also don't recommend a friend, you are stealing and we will call the government. We will call the government. You wouldn't download a car.
You wouldn't steal a handbag.
You wouldn't download a wife.
Some people download wives.
I'm sure they do. I've watched a documentary about Japanese men in love with their DS, and it really put into context a lot of your life.
Dude, I think I saw some of that too. It was amazing. But also, I keep getting these weird AI pop-ups for sort of like, get your new AI girlfriend. And I'm like, no, I'm not that lonely.
I've seen our Instagram recommended reels. I know exactly
how lonely you are. I've been doing this with you. Every time I open it, I'm like, Rob.
No.
Rob. So it's not just me, and it's not you. So someone's on there. I think it's Instagram. I think that's what it is. Ooh,
Instagram's like, you two are men.
Who owns Instagram, Rob?
Mark Zuckface.
Mark fucking Zuckerberg is at it again. I'm suing him for 600 mil, all right? Stop making it weird when I open Instagram in public.
Ben is right there. That is sadly all the time we have. And to thank you for spending an hour of your week with us, especially at the start of the week. We know a lot of you listen on a Monday. So Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this film into a little Monday motivation pep talk. While I just tell you to go with this. Consume.
I don't know where to go with this, man. There's different ways. I mean, you could be the Winklevoss twins and just give away your multi-million dollar ideas to any programmer that's willing to work with you because they built an MP3 thing and didn't sell it to Microsoft. That's a big red flag, number one. Or you can go Zuckerberg and be sort of like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you just upset me a little bit? Did you make me feel like a little incel weirdo? Or how about this? Boom, nuclear button, change the world. Now you're fucked forever. Your bloodline will never recover. In fact, none of humanity ever will. So what I'm saying is, choose your battles wisely, and maybe, if you're going to change the world with a revolutionary idea, hope that David Fincher can turn it into a perfect movie. Is that all I'm going to say?